Blog Talk Radio. I don't know about the rest of you, but I love this time of the day. I love how the cool, crisp night air kisses the ground, leaving behind a gentle layer of dew. I love looking up into the night sky and seeing the moon shining down upon us like an old, trusted friend. I look forward to spending our Thursday nights here together on Blog Talk Radio as we travel together on this journey into the night.
Show tonight, so it's going to be a good one. So how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. I really, truly am. I survived getting my new computer set up, so the drama is finally over.
Right.
Yep. Last week was quite hectic for me, folks. The computer did a major crash, and I ended up having to break down and buy Windows 10. Yikes.
It's not so bad. Once you get used to it, I think, it'll be fine. So,
but I
think
I think
you did something to mine because mine's acting up now. So,
well, see, I just sent the whammy over to you.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, you're my bed. I don't want to suffer alone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Friends suffer together.
There you go. Misery does love company, you know.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, so enough about whining about computers, huh?
Yep.
All right, let's get started because, folks, we have a great show tonight for you. Lisa and I are really excited about this. tonight it's going to be the cure for the working class blues. Now, our guest tonight is Bruce Guinan, and he's with the band Big Rain, the definitive working man's band with sweet vocal harmonies, brings its award-winning brand of rock and country blues, and so much more to the stage. With the release of several number one and six top 30 songs from five albums on both the USA and international charts, these boys dish up a full-bodied musical fare. The breadth of their musical repertoire leaves no one untouched and brings screaming audiences to their feet. Some of the band's achievements include national and international tours, such as tours for the troops in Iraq, Kuwait, Egypt, and the U.S., as well as tour in China, Australia, and Europe. 17 years performing and touring with over 1,300 performances. Songs and awards, three number one radio charting songs, six songs in the top 10 and 30, radio music charts nationally, Europe, Japan, and Australia, industry honors for Vocal Group of the Year, nominated Crossover Artist of the Year for New Music Awards, working with their communities, sharing the stage with the biggest names in the business, performed at 100 of the festivals, fairs, and community concerts, concerts to raise money for veterans, children, and other nonprofits. So, you guys, we're going to have fun tonight, so let's bring Bruce on and give him a warm, deadly reads welcome. Hey, Bruce, how's it going this evening?
Hi, Bruce.
I'm doing. Hey, guys, ladies, how are you?
Hey,
great.
I don't want to say guys because you're not guys, that's for sure.
We're Southern gals.
We're Southern gals.
I was listening to that introduction, and I said, "Wow, I did a lot there for it." It sounds like a lot that we've done. I don't really think about it in those terms of how you just went through all that. But when you think about it, came a long way from a dream to we came a long way from a dream to living our life in the music world. So, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, that bio is something else, and you have done a lot, and I know it's been exciting. I know it's a lot of work, I'm sure, but it's been exciting as well, I'm sure, along the way.
Like anybody else, we had a lot of ups and downs, and a lot of times when we thought, well, maybe we just ought to throw in the towel, the music business is a kind of business. It's the process of making music is the beautiful thing, but it's a non-forgiving business, and things change and people change, and so you just gotta love what you do. And I think if you love what you do, it's not about money, and it's not about fame. It's just about wanting to make good music, and when you come to that point in your life, career, and you realize this actually helps people and makes people feel good, you actually realize that it's kind of like you go full circle in your career. You start out wanting to be successful, but along the way you find out that success really is that you're able to create something that helps other people, and that's the greatest reward in the world, so
that's very true.
Yeah, all those accolades don't mean much when you put it in that context. It's really just about connecting with people and just trying to make good music and doing something that you really enjoy doing, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, and from reading your bio, you've done things where you have made yourself accessible to your fans. And I know by doing that, you've created new fans. When you go and perform for the troops or go to these different functions, you're putting yourself there so that people can meet you and see you and, get to know you, the man, you, the band. And that to me is success. That's true success.
That's a big part of being in you know, writing songs and singing songs and performing them is about connecting with people, really, and a way to communicate and connect with people on all different levels. And being out there, you know, playing festivals and you know, sticking your neck out and going to other parts of the world and, you know, doing tours for the troops like that are not only, you know, within that framework of sharing, but it's also a tremendous learning experience for an individual, for a person. You really start to see, understand other people's processes and the things that they have to go through, and you start to see your own life in a different way. You start to see that you're part of this big picture, and it's not about you. It's about everyone else. So so that's a big part of it, is connecting with people and establishing that, you know, basic relationship. And it's the same thing in writing a song. You want to write something that write about life, you know, that people can put their own story in. So all goes hand in hand.
Now, you say your band is known as the Working Man's Band, and you're branded as Rock Country Blues. Can you tell us how you came to form the band and why you decided on your unique genre?
Yeah, back in the early 90s, my original founder with me, Peter Alimo, and I met in Santa Cruz, California, in a fitness gym, and we got together and started talking, and I was working on recording a single out of my own album. I was on my own project working on releasing this album called Sound of Freedom. And I met him, and we got together and started working together, and he started coming in and working with me on the project. And then we started singing together, and the first time we sang together, we just looked at each other and said, first time we sang a note together, we knew that we had something that we needed to do together. So we started working as a duo, and after a while, we said, well, we got to name the band, and we couldn't think of a name. We went through a couple hundred names, wrote them down, and, well, let's have a name. And we got together on this recording project, and it rained for every day for about 30 days. It was like one. And one day I just looked at him and said, well, ever since we got together, it's been raining. Why don't we just call the band Big Rain?
There you go.
I know you were waiting for this big, majestic answer, but it was like, I said, and he goes, I go, well, let's just call it Big Rain, because Big Rain just sounds like something cool. And Pete goes, yeah, you know, I believe in being good to our environment, so Big Rain kind of falls into that category for me. And I said, yeah, me too. You know, we live on the coast, so we're environmentally conscious about the water and things like that, you know.
Well, I was just wondering, were you Native American or had Native American in you? Because Big Rain, it sounds like something like Native American.
You know, a lot of people have asked me that, and I have no Native American in me, but I am born and raised in California, so I guess that requires, I don't go back to those long generations way back like Native Americans do.
Well, now we know where Big Rain came from. That's quite unique, you know. But things like that, things are like that in life a lot of times. People think it has some great mysterious meaning, and then all of a sudden it's just something so simple, you know, like, oh, okay.
and the idea of Big Rain is, it is, but the essence of it, the idea of the name Big Rain does fall into all those things for us. So we kind of like, we're able to cast a big net in that regard with the name, because it just falls into a lot of things that we can relate to. So, and it was easy. So it does kind of, you know, in all those thought processes.
It's a good name. I really do like the name. So,
I like it.
And you know, I don't think there's going to be anybody out there copying it, because it's pretty original,
right?
I think so. There was a band in Europe called Big Rain, but they were after us, and they're not around anymore, but they were like a cover band or something. So, I actually did research the name just to see, and haven't really found anybody. But now we call the band Bruce Gwynn and Big Rain. So now it's got my name on it too. So
right. There you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
Now, with all these songs, these 30 songs and several number one hits and 5 albums and playing both in America and abroad, are you the main songwriter, or do you have other members that write also?
Well, I wrote a lot of most of the songs, except for maybe a couple of them. If I didn't write them, I was involved in them. I have collaborated with other songwriters along the way, a fellow by the name of Mark Gurley, who's a lyricist, and I've written some songs with recently with different people. I have collaborated over the years with people. Peter Alimo, you know, collaborated with me on the musical parts of certain songs. And I am the principal. I've been the principal songwriter over the years, but I've always worked with other people as well. And I do have new music that I will be releasing that's been collaborated with some other writers as well.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, you know, I'm sure you know that Lisa and I are both authors, and people are always asking us where the inspiration for our books come from.
Well,
now, we're going to ask you, where does the inspiration for your songs come from?
It comes from everywhere. It comes from just kind of making it through a bad day to seeing things around me that happen in our society that touch the compassion part of me. It comes from my childhood. Hard times as growing up as a child in my childhood. Yeah, it comes from it comes from places of emotion. It comes from the idea of telling a story in the song. I like songs that kind of tell stories, but often those stories come out of an emotion or feeling that kind of is the basis of it. I actually dream a lot of the music and dreams, and then I would wake up and go play them on the piano. I actually dreamed songs and then recorded them.
Oh, that's cool.
And I actually wrote a whole album that way almost. I would just wake up to a melody. I would hear a melody in my head. The song would be playing, and I said, "What was it?" You know, and I would just get up, wake up, and either sing it into something or come in the studio and play it on a piano, and then I remember the feeling I had, the emotion that the song created, and every time I would sit on the piano to write the song, I would just kind of put myself back in that space of where that song came from. I think as an author, you would do the same thing if you're writing books and stories. You want to kind of go back to the feeling of it and tell the story and, you know, what happened. And you just kind of, I just kind of read the experience while I'm writing the song, and then just musical ideas come to me, and it's kind of a free-flowing thing. My original inspiration when I was about 5 or 6 years old, I heard a Billie Holiday song when I was a little kid. And I heard Billie Holiday singing, and I said, it just changed my life. I started singing after that, and there was an old piano in the house. I started playing the piano. I didn't know what I was playing, but I just, over time, I figured things out. And then I started writing songs when I got to be a teenager. And so I actually think Billie Holiday was kind of the seed that planted music in me, even though I might have just been born with a musical, a music knack, you know.
Right.
But I think it was Billie Holiday, and then later on, Roy Orbison, I heard that guy sing, and I said, "Oh my God, what a singer!" You know.
Oh yeah,
And I started listening to all these different songwriters and how they wrote songs for me, it was an escape as a child to escape from kind of a rough upbringing as a child and some hard times as a child, and it was an escape for me to express my emotions as I was growing up. So I would just sit there on the piano and, you know, maybe I had a girlfriend that broke up with me or something, and I would sit in the piano and play that song. You know, I would kind of get it out of me. And I actually believe that kind of helped me get through those growing up years and get me into the next phase of my life, you know.
Right. You know, I write poems as well. I can't sing. I love to sing, but I can't sing. but I use my poems as an outlet, you know, for things like that, for, you know, having bad days and things. So I can see that as a songwriter, using poems and song to make you, you know, get over things and move forward with your life. So I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Poetry is a great art form, and it's a really nice way to put feelings on paper.
Right.
That it really is something else. Yeah. I know what you're saying. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
So now on your instruments, are you self-taught, or did you take classes, or did somebody teach you, or how did that come about to be? I know you said you slept on the piano, so.
Yeah, I'm pretty much self-taught piano. As I got older, I took some music theory classes in
mm-hmm.
school and stuff. And I think I actually had a piano teacher teach me how to play the blues on piano when I was young.
Oh.
And
yeah.
once I learned the blues on piano, it was, oh, well, heck, everything's connected with that anyway. We can pretty much figure it out. You know, I took a few theory classes along the way, you know, musical theory, just because I kind of just wanted to know how to communicate my music to other musicians, you know, in a way that they could relate to it. And so that's why I did that. And I actually spent most of my life just writing and singing and playing songs and playing little guitar, piano. I play the electric bass as well, a 5-string bass. And
mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty much
self-taught things. Yeah, you have to be.
Long way I studied with a few people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know with music, you got to really have a passion. I took piano lessons for 7 years when I was young. And it was something my mom wanted me to do. So, you know, I never really had the passion for it. So I never really learned how to read music. You know, some people sit down and they know how to read the music and they play it right then. Well, I never got good enough. And I think a lot of it's because I was young and felt forced into it. I do wish I would have focused on it more and really learned. Because now as you grow up, you regret that you were foolish as a kid and didn't take advantage of it. But you know, there was a couple of other kids in the, you know, were taking lessons from the same teacher, and they just, it was their passion. And you could tell the difference in how they learned and how I learned. I just didn't have that passion. So I can see where you're saying you were able to sit down and do that. I mean, you definitely have to have the passion, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I think you have to have, the thing about becoming, if you're just not not very few people are just natural born singers and natural born musicians. And
mm-hmm.
natural born at anything really when you think about it. And no matter what level you're at, you have to work at it to be as good as you want to be at it. But it just takes commitment and perseverance. Like a lot of people give up too soon. And I've seen that
happen. Exactly. That's true.
Some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing about music is there's no one way or right way. There's no wrong way or right way to do this. People learn differently. People have different learning processes. People have strengths in different areas. Some people can sit there and read music just like it was a math equation to them that they can do.
Wow.
But if you ask them to play something from the heart that's going to touch somebody, it doesn't happen. Then there's other people that can't read a lick of music and could care less. But boy, when they may not know everything about how to play music, but when they do play what they play, they just really are good at it. They really.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So people learn differently, and I've learned along the way working with different musicians over the years that there's different types of musicians that learn music in different ways. So you just have to be flexible and, you know, understand their process. You know, their creative process. People have different creative processes. And I think because they try to, like, make you take lessons for 7 years and, well, you got to know how to read every note or you can't learn the piano. That's not necessarily true, you know. You can, you know.
Right.
You might be able to hear it with your ear and play it better. So.
Right.
But I did, along the way, I did learn how to read music just because I wanted to know how. And then after I learned how to read music, I never read music again. So.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
It just got in my way to sit there and read the music. I'd rather just play it, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I used to laugh to myself because, like I said, I love to sing, but I don't have the talent to sing. And so I just didn't have the interest in playing an instrument. And I used to laugh and say, well, it's because I don't have a talent of singing that I'm not interested in playing an instrument. But that is not true either, right? I mean, I'm sure there's musicians out there that can play wonderfully, but they can't sing. So.
Yeah, I don't think B.B. King. I don't think B.B. King could before he died. But B.B. King couldn't read a note.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Really?
My husband got to meet him years ago.
My husband met him years ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's totally true, but that's what I've heard, and I've heard of other people, you know, really famous, great musicians, never read a note. Music. They never thought, they just don't learn it that way. You know?
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell us about some of the songs you've won awards for?
Well, let me see.
Quite a few of them.
Yeah, there's over that last album we did with Oak Records a few years back, that got a lot of attention, a lot of airplay, a lot of kind of people were taking notice to the songwriting and also the style of what we did. We kind of created a sound that was a crossover of music that was rock based in general, but had some country rock influence and other types of influences, maybe some R&B and blues, like you mentioned, and kind of were able to take a lot of different influences of that, of different styles and genres of music. Because I grew up playing all different. I'm interested in every kind of music I can get my hands on, but or listen to. And I kind of prided myself that I could play different styles of music and I could do them well. And felt that would make me a better musician, a better way to. I could be better at connecting with people. I just felt for me that was an approach. A lot of people may not take that approach, but a lot of musicians play all different styles. So we were able to kind of blend that into a coherent sound, or a sound that was kind of referred to as our own sound. Mm-hmm. And it did well, like on rock stations and country rock and, you know, different areas, and even country music radio stations would play it. We'll play it and stuff like that. And it's got that blues influence too. And you might even hear a little bit of a reggae rhythm once in a while, you know, or a or different styles. So it evolved from that recording that we did with Ray, a producer called Ray Ruff. And we put, you know, steel pedal guitar in there, and we did some nice melodic things to the music that fit our vocal styles, kind of Everly Brothers type approach in terms of harmonies, with an example, and you know, Eagles types harmonies that we just kind of naturally sung. And so that's kind of how we end up getting that crossover award or music recognition as a crossover artist, which meant that we were able to, like adult contemporary type style of music, we could fall into different styles and formats of music, and in that way I felt like, because we did that, I felt we were reaching more people. You know, we just weren't reaching a specific style or a specific market. And so,
right.
So I like that. So it's now evolved into what we call the Redwood Coast sound. How does that sound to you?
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And along with that, we would call it, let's say it's Redwood Coast rock, right? And it's kind of an evolution of the sound that kind of puts a geographical feel to it. But how we came up with the Redwood Coast sound and Redwood Coast rock, which is a combination of rock, country rock, and blues, like you said in the intro of the show. Well, we never really gave it a name, so we decided to give it a name, and we called it Redwood Coast Rock.
I like it.
I love the Redwood. Yeah. That's one of my favorite places in the whole world. So.
Yeah. So I love it. What kind of music do you play? Oh, it's Redwood Coast Rock. Well, I never heard of that. Well, here, we'll get you something you can hear about it.
There you go.
Hey, you are trendsetters. You're not followers, right? There you go.
You got to walk
in front of the band, yeah.
I think in that way we were, but, you know, everything's kind of everything now, right? You know, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
We're not the only people doing that, you know. But you have to have something special
that's yours.
Right, we gotta call it a whole thing, so we call it Redwood Coast Rock, and that's kind of how that came about. And there's been four or five songs that have done really, really well for a number of years now, and one of them, Sweet Inspiration, and the song I'm Not Running, another one, December Night, just trying to think of ones. Angel in My Room was a big hit in China. When we went on a China tour, we had to play Angel in My Room every time. And they all knew the word. That album did a lot of charting. That particular album did a lot of charting.
You know, does it amaze you, though, that like the songs that you think will be popular or, like the ones you think are going to be popular, the other ones are more popular? Does that surprise you? I'm sure it's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
But
I think sometimes you think, they're just going to love this song, but certain songs just seem to really catch on. And
Right. Yeah.
But it surprises me, because what surprises me, actually, is that when new fans come on board with us, and we meet a lot of new fans through Twitter, just like we met you, right? Through Twitter.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that's where you got your downloads from us, through Twitter. I sent you a link, and you downloaded some songs, I think. Then you and I connected. Here we are.
No, she didn't forward me any songs. That's why I sit here wondering why I was wishing we had some songs we could play tonight.
No, I didn't get any.
Oh, I can send you a link so you can. I'll make sure to do that.
I'm sorry. Yeah. No, we didn't get one.
we got to do that. So we got to send you a link so you can do that and get some downloads. The things they tell me are pretty much what I kind of thought all along. Is that all the record labels kind of had it wrong, all the big record labels kind of, how they started breaking all the music up into specific styles and all that, and genres and everything. Well, it turns out that people that like rock, like country, that they also like blues. Most people like a lot of different kinds of music. And And I'm one of those people. But there are some people that, have certain favorites, But the things they tell me about certain songs, I would have never thought about,
Right.
But there's, because I'm able to kind of connect with people on a because I actually connect with the people, you know, and we have little, like, conversations. And, you know, we actually connect with our fans through the Internet, you know. And
mm-hmm.
we get
yeah,
back,
that's wonderful.
Build that stuff,
yeah.
And they tell me things that I thought were true all along, but when I hear it from them, I understand it a lot better. You know what I mean? In
right.
That regard.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me things about songs like, but there's no one song that seems to be the most popular in that
okay.
in the social media world. But in the radio format world, there were, you know, three or four or five or six songs that, you know, they wanted to play more than others. And those would have been,
mm-hmm.
you know, sound like Sweet Inspiration, I'm Not Running, December Night, A Moment of Honesty, that one too.
Mm-hmm.
The song Waiting, which I think I'm going to release as a single because people seem to really like it. But it's funny how the two worlds kind of don't necessarily match up, you know, like the big record labels and what the people in the social media people say out in the world of fans, they don't really match up. So I go with the people out there who are, you know, I go
yeah.
with the people who are consuming the music, you know.
Right.
You know, if that makes any sense.
Lisa and I understand that completely because Lisa and I are, we're independent authors. We're not signed on to the big publishing companies. And
right.
it is quite different, you know. So we understand where you're coming from completely,
yeah.
believe me. You know.
Yeah, I think the being an author is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, can you tell us about your tours that you did for the troops?
Well,
I'd love
yeah,
to hear about
over,
that because.
Yeah, we went to Iraq and went to Kuwait for the troops.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent about a month and a half there. And I spent a lot of time with soldiers, and then we did show after show, and
mm-hmm.
That was pretty amazing. I mean, I came back
mm-hmm.
pretty tired, but
right.
that was an amazing tour, I thought, and I learned a lot about people, and I had worked with veterans. In a lot of different capacities. I was never a veteran myself, but I always had a sweet spot for veterans because I always felt, you know, that they weren't really given the just due that they should be given in terms of the support they needed, and that
mm-hmm.
a lot of them have deep scars
mm-hmm.
that, you know, and people that say they want to go to war and do this stuff, all you got to do is hang around with a lot of veterans for a long time and you'll get talked right out of that. So,
right.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Because
yeah.
You just look into their
yeah.
eyes and you see the
mm-hmm.
story. When they open
well,
up.
Well, it's not Hollywood, and they know that. They know it's not
yeah.
Hollywood. You know, they know the difference.
Yeah.
You know, I.
Yeah.
My husband and
wow.
I, we're both retired truck drivers now, but for the last 10 years before we retired, we hauled military freight and we hauled sensitive freight. And
yeah.
we met so many of the soldiers when they were coming and going back and forth to the war. We hauled their weapons and things like that for them. And we got to sit and talk to so many of them, you know, and get to know
mm-hmm.
them. And I remember asking them, aren't you afraid to be going over there? And they just looked at me, no, ma'am, it's my duty. You know,
right.
and I'm thinking
yeah.
they're so young, you know. They were younger than my son, who's my baby, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, I just have so much respect. But I grew up in a military home. My dad's a retired Air Force, so I'm military brat. So, but,
you've been through
yeah,
the whole thing.
They're quite wonderful people. They really, truly are. And they understand, you know, it's not glory, it's duty, you know.
Yeah,
and more people need to understand that.
Yeah,
yeah.
More people need,
mm-hmm.
need to get a hold of that, and they're just regular people like everyone else, but they sometimes have to do extraordinary things, and
mm-hmm.
and such, you know, it should be no one can really, it's almost impossible to accept some of the things that they've had to endure. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, we're not made for that really. So.
No, we're not.
Mm-mm. It's really something else. And so it gave me a whole new perspective. And when I got back from that trip, I started writing the song when I was there. And I finished it here, and I'm going to release it soon. It's called American Warriors. And it's a song written it's not a political statement or anything like that. It's just a song written from the troops, from the soldiers' point of view, from their perspective, perspective. It's not about and how that affects and their families and
how that
it's from their perspective and what I got from them, and I just I just felt I wanted to, you know, that song, and eventually I'm going to release that song and see what happens.
And I can't wait to hear it. That's a subject that's very close to my heart, you know. So
yeah.
I'm sure it'll be wonderful.
You'll get it right away. I think you'll get it right away.
I remember so many times when we were hauling their weapons to the port and they were getting ready to go. You know, we pick them up at the base and we talk to them, and then we'd leave and, you know, go to the port so they could put their weapons on the ship. And I remember talking to so many of them, young, fresh-faced, you know, especially at the beginning of the war, you know, the first time going over there. And, you know, and then as time went on, you know, some of them were going back maybe the second or third time. And, you know,
I'd
hug them and tell them, please come home and come home with all the parts you left with. And, you know, it's something that a lot of people don't understand until you really get a chance to talk to the individuals that are doing it. So I'm so honored that you do that for our troops, because that's an important thing. More people, you know, you go over there and you entertain them and you give them some time to not think about the ugliness. You know, you give them an escape just for a short time, and that's a wonderful gift that you've given them.
Well, thank you. I felt that connection with them too, and it was gratifying to know that I was able to do that. And that's an experience I'll never ever forget. And I hope that when I wrote the song, I tried to make it so it was inclusive, not just for the soldiers and veterans in our world, I tried to make it for all people to realize that, you know, we're all sacrificing in certain ways, and that we, you know, so I tried to be inclusive, and I think through the words we were able to do that you know, down to the brother and sister sitting at home thinking about their loved one, you know. So,
right.
Right.
How long were you over there? How long did you say you were over there?
About a month and a half. And we were right now.
Wow.
Yeah, we were in right over, you know, what used to be, you know, the airport in Baghdad, you know, where they had all the bases, Camp Liberty, all the bases and all the palaces that we had troops in. We actually lived right in the Hooches with the soldiers.
Oh, wow.
It was like, you know, and I'd see him go out every day, every other day, you know, see him go out in the truck.
Wow.
And then we went to different bases. Yeah, we went to a different bases, a lot of different bases. We also, took the C-130s out to some other places, too. And,
wow.
Wow.
I guess you did have an experience then. That was something.
Yep. That's something. Okay. You guys, we're ticking away on the clock before we lose our time. You mentioned before the show started you was going to tell us about a certain story. You want to tell us about it now?
Well, I worked with a producer by the name of Ray Ruff, who died about 5 or 6 years ago. But he was a really kind of iconic producer, and he produced a lot of very famous people. And when I first called and you were telling me we're getting ready for this story, I said, oh, remind me of the story of Ray. And as he told me a lot of stories, but the one story that he always told me that was really interesting to me, and to this day if he told me, I believe it's true, but you never know, people. But he told me, you know, music business. But, you know, I don't think Ray would have made it up, but who knows. But it has to do with someone you like, which is George Strait, right?
And, mm-hmm.
He was a producer for George Strait at one point in George's career, right? And he
mm-hmm.
suggested, the way the story goes, he suggested to George that you do the song, would you do the song Amarillo by Morning? Because he said, it's the perfect song for you, and, you know, it's going to be a good song for him. So as a producer, he kind of takes that on. And apparently George didn't want to do the song. So, you know, long story short, George did this song, but I guess he wasn't happy with it or something, or that they weren't, you know, and he was kind of mad at Ray for making him do it, right? So he was mad at Ray for a long time, or for a while. I don't know how long it was. I can't put years to it, but the way Ray put it was, a couple of years later, you know, George came back and thanked me for having him do the song, because it ended up to be one of his big hit for him.
That's one of my faves of his.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The story was, he didn't want to do the song from, this is what Ray told me, and he was mad at Ray, but one day he showed up on Ray's doorstep, and he thanked him for doing it, and bygones, you know, no one was mad at anybody anymore.
That's great.
When Ray died, I went to his funeral, and guess what Ray's favorite song was? Amarillo by Morning.
Amarillo.
So they played that song. They played that song at Ray's funeral, and when they played it, I remembered the story that he told me
mm-hmm.
in the studio day,
mm-hmm.
and I said, I didn't realize it was his favorite song. And so from that day on, whenever I did a show, I learned how to do Amarillo by Morning because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that day on, whenever I do a show, I always try to include that song, Amarillo by Morning, and I always, as a blessing to Ray, I dedicate it to him.
That's very nice.
I like
a lot of different types of music, but my husband, he only likes two kind of music, country and western. That's the only two types of music he likes.
Country and western. I said, well, we play them both.
Yeah.
Right? Oh,
country western. That's what my husband likes.
Yeah. I like all types of music. I like Celtic. I like the blues. I love the blues.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now my husband likes old country. He said he don't like this new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he likes the old
new
stuff.
Stuff and all that.
Huh?
Kind of the new homogenized music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that. Yeah, a lot of it kind of. There's a lot of different styles out there. That kind of, it doesn't sound as authentic, huh? In some ways.
Right.
I say he likes the old twangy stuff, the old country, you know. And he says,
hey,
that's what. Yep, he likes the old stuff, the old classic, you know, stuff. And he says, but that's all they ever played in his home when he was growing up. You know, that's all his parents would let on the home. So that's what he, you know. And of course, when he got in high school, he listened to some, you know, rock and stuff like that. Now, he does like the old 50s rock and roll. You know,
but
his favorite is the old country.
Yeah, that's about the same time when the old country was really big, too. So the two.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like country and rock and roll have always, through the decades, have kind of gone together in certain ways, you know.
Right,
mm-hmm.
it has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so, and I think country is... you know, now including different styles into it, too. So, and you find that in blues, too. Now they, you know, they call it modern blues, you know, and it's more of a crossover, you know, more of a melding of of rock and blues and stuff like that. And,
it sounds great together. It really does. It sounds wonderful, I think. It's a good mixture.
Yeah. It's funny because I was doing stuff like that 20 years ago, and now it's actually acceptable.
Right. So you're a pioneer.
Well, you know that you've gotten old when your kid, who's just getting their driver's license, wants to listen to the classic rock station, and it's the stuff that you used to cruise to. I had that happen all those years ago, about 20 years ago, when my daughter was driving, and she really got into classic rock, as it was called, and she, you know, was wanting to listen to it on the car radio, and I was like, oh, my God, that's what I used to cruise to when I was your age, kid. So, yeah.
Well, I noticed that my son, he is into all the, you know, he's on vinyl, you know. He doesn't even want to listen to the other stuff. He's got his own stereo set up, and he puts stuff on that I said, oh, who's that? And he reminds me of who it is, and I go, man, that's great. And he goes, but it's like, you know, it's not of this generation, you know. And he's got a great ear for, you know, just good music. He doesn't care when you know, where it came from or when it was done, you know. But
So now, where can the fans find your touring schedule and all that? Would you have all that on your website?
Yeah, go to the website, which is the easy handle is bigrain.net.
I got the links too.
Or you can go to brucegwynn.com. That's Bruce G-U-Y-N-N .com, which takes you to the same website.
Okay.
But I think people can remember bigrain.net easier.
Oh, yeah. Big Rain. That's an easy one to remember.
Yeah, I love that. Yep. Big Rain.
So now, what is your next touring place going to be? Are you going to stay home for a little while, or do you got another big tour lined up?
Well, we don't have any, like, overseas tours or big USA tours, but right now we're just doing a Northern California tour, which is closer to home for us, and doing a lot in Northern California over the next month and a half. And then we're just going to I'm sorry, go ahead.
You might know where I'm originally from then. I grew up in Woodland, just north of Sacramento.
Up in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in Northern California.
Well, my dad retired to California from the Air Force. Before that, it was all over the place. But now I'm in Southeast Texas, and I'm a Texan.
You know, all the new fans we get, that Texas is the second biggest area for us. I don't know
why. Oh, really?
I don't know why. The first is California because I grew here. But then, like, see all the other states. Texas is like, the next biggest area that we end up, you know, getting a lot of new folks from. So,
cool.
I don't know. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
Somehow we've got to figure out a way to get there, get to Austin or something.
Yeah. Texans have good taste. That's what it is. See.
They also have good music over there. They have that. You know, they have that stuff called that red dirt music.
Uh-huh.
Red dirt. I guess they call it red dirt country or whatever. But it's kind of a mix of rock and country and blues and stuff. But then Austin's got you know, great stuff always coming out of there. That red dirt stuff is cool. There's actually a band called the Red Dirt Band or something like that.
Really? Cool.
Yeah. Oh. Heck, I might know more about Texas music than you guys do, huh?
It sounds like it. As far as music, it sounds like it.
Well, Bruce, we're running out of time here. We've just got a few minutes left. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us before Blog Talk cuts us off for the night?
Oh, no. I think I talked enough. You got me going. I can't Yeah, stop. Okay.
I think he was concerned when he found out the show was an hour long, but we told him it would go by faster than he realized.
I'm quite surprised.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't really get to talk to a lot of people, you know.
I know you're always singing, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, you could have sung for us tonight. We would have let you do a a cappella.
Well, okay, we'll have you back again sometime, and next time you get us some music, and we'll play your music on the show. How's that sound?
Oh, yeah. I'll send
mm-hmm.
you some links. I don't know why we didn't do that. Okay, we'll do that.
Well, everything
right.
got switched up real fast, and tonight was you kind of played. Changing everything up because really Bruce was supposed to be with us next week, but he graciously stepped into tonight for
right.
us. So yoo-hoo.
So yeah, I could have missed a link there. So if I did, I apologize. But we'll get it done next time.
yeah.
So
well, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Right.
We had a really good time, everybody. Go on and go to his website. We've got the links here on the show, and we also have it on Deadly Reads' website. Go into the, of course, as you know, go into deadlyreads.com. Go into the Deadly Reads radio link for the month of September. You will find Bruce there with all his social media link stuff. Hook up with him. Go get his music. And so what? You're going to have a good time listening to it. I know I'm going to go check out more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bruce?
Yes. Yeah, okay.
You
want me to say
something?
All right.
Oh, that's already.
All right.
Good night.
Thanks a lot, guys.
No problem,
Bruce.
We'll talk to you later, okay?
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, he's really nice. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, he was a nice guy.
Yep. Now, next week, we're going to have Dwayne Cox. He was supposed
mm-hmm.
to be tonight, but things got changed up, and
mm-hmm.
so he'll be on next Thursday night, and we'll talk about him and his documentaries, and that
Meltdown
was really fun. I enjoyed this. I hope he comes back again, and I'd like to play some of his music and everything, so.
Yes.
Anyway, well, Lisa, you ready to call it a night?
Yep. See y'all next Thursday.
Good night, everybody.